Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me confess to you some feeble attempts that are before me this morning. I'm going to attempt to paint a picture for you and to weave some things together. But you got to know something about me. I'm not an artist and I'm not a weaver. And so if I attempt anything that has to do with art, it's usually connecting the dots and painting by number. Oh, you can relate to that, huh? And as far as weaving, I used to attempted to braid my little girl's hair. I have three daughters, and I would attempt to braid their hair. Oh, what a mess. It had the semblance of a braid, but it certainly wasn't anything like what their mother could do. So I'm going to try to paint a picture and weave some things today and connect the dots. So I'm asking you to hang with me along the way. Because you might begin to think, where is this guy going? What is he doing? I assure you, there is a point. There really is. So, let's read. I know that oftentimes, as you see the elements right here to my left, you see the trays of bread and juice. And so this is a communion Sunday. So we are committing the entire service to a communion idea. Bring our minds and our hearts to the reality of what the Lord's Supper is. Communion, the Lord's table, the Eucharist. Those are names that we use, and names that you have used and perhaps been familiar with as you have gone through your life in whatever church you grew up. And so I'm going to use this passage of Scripture to bring to you this message this morning. So read along with me, starting verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. And I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup. Also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, you remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks, drinks and eats to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the celebration that is before us. Father, that our hearts would be laid bare before you because you see everything. Nothing is hidden from your holy eyes. Before you, Father, we are totally transparent and can hide nothing. You know us, O Lord, and you know our need. Father, you have provided that need in God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that as we bring our lives before you, you will speak to us through your word. And by the prompting and the piercing of your Holy Spirit, bring us to the place of your will. We know that, Lord. So I pray that we would not fight you, that we would not strive against you, that we would not squirm and run like a little spoiled child, but cling to your hand. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day of celebration. In Jesus' name we pray. The title of my message this morning is Celebrating the Lord's Supper. I know that whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we usually talk about it as a memorial. And it is. It is a memorial. And it is a celebration. But somehow in our human minds, perhaps the word memorial and celebration just don't fit. the dots don't connect. Because we have this idea of great celebration, but we also have the idea of a memorial. And the two may not go together, but they do go together. So that's what I want us to be encouraged by today, and come to the realization of what it is that we're doing when we gather together to participate. Because it is a participation. It's not passive. It is active. And you'll see why as we go along. You all have been to memorials, have you not? You've been to memorial services at the death of someone, and you gather together to pay respects and to love on one another. At those particular memorials, there's a couple of things that you may not see. One of them is smiles. And certainly, if you were to hear a laughter over at the corner of a group of people, you would wonder, why are those people laughing? Don't they understand this is a memorial? It's supposed to be solemn. It's serious. It's supposed to be reverent, quiet. It's no time to celebrate. Is that how we see the Lord's table? Is that what happens in your hearts? Last week, there was an announcement in the bulletin. Do you remember it? Second service. I didn't read it to you. Purposely, I didn't read it to you, because I was hoping that you'd read it for yourselves. It said, next week, we'll be observing the Lord's table. Prepare. Pray. Did you? Don't raise your hands. How did you prepare? What'd you think about? Or, this morning when you arrived, did you go, communion? Are you prepared now? Where's your heart? Listen, put aside all of the stuff that you brought with you this morning. I want you to focus in and concentrate on what we're doing and who we're celebrating and why. Wrap your heart and your minds around Christ Jesus, the Lord. Put aside everything else. Ladies, if you're writing the grocery list, put it down. Men, if you're looking at your calendar for this week, the calendar will still be there and the appointments will be there. Kids, this is important for all of us. So let me ask you a few questions before we continue. Now, these questions are personal, but I'm not going to call on anybody, so relax a little bit. I'm not going to say, Pastor Sean, stand up, come on up here, tell us what you think. I mean, I could, and he would. Don't you know that? He would. That's Pastor Sean. He would. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want you to be embarrassed, and I don't want you to be filled with guilt, because that's not the point of it. But I want you to think. And although these questions are not profound, but I want them to be personal, and I want them to have some sort of an impact in our lives. Number one, did you think about preparing to participate in the Lord's Supper? I already asked you that. Did you think about it this past week? Or were the issues of life so heavy that you just put it aside, thinking, well, it'll be there? And if you thought about it, what did you think about it? How did you pray in order to prepare for this wonderful time of celebration? Number two, when you think about the Lord's Supper, what goes through your mind? What are your thoughts? What do you know? What do you believe? What does it do in your heart? Number three, what personal significance does it have in your life? is the significance profound to the point where it is a reflection of who you are in Christ? Would you be able to explain the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, communion, to someone who would say to you, what is that all about? What do you do? What's the significance? Why do you do it? How often and how come? I want you to take a few minutes and look around, or a few seconds, not minutes, a few seconds to look around this building. No, please, seriously, go ahead. Look around. We'll look at the walls and look at things and perhaps one another. Pastor Sean, you're not doing it. It's not. Oh, okay. I said I wasn't going to pick on anybody. Look, in this building you find things that symbolize, and they have great significance. Do you know what they are? Do you know what they mean? Can you explain them to others? Can you explain the meaning of this flag right here to my left? The Christian flag. Do you know where it came from, when it was inaugurated, what it means, what the symbols are, what the colors mean? Do you know what the other flag means? Flag of the United States of America. Can you tell me what the stripes mean, what the stars mean, what the colors mean? Why is it important? Why is this flag important? Why is that flag important? What about the cross? Brothers and sisters, do you know? That the symbol that reminds us of our redemption is quickly disappearing from the church. Do you know that? And why? Other churches are adopting symbols that cannot be explained, attempted perhaps, but they cannot be explained from the scripture. This one can. The elements here can. And should. But the young people are sitting, you can't see it, but there's a baptistry under there. Do you know what that means? Do you know why the pulpit is here in the center, not over on the sides? These questions are important to us. They should be important to us. They should have a tremendous impact in our lives. They should have a profound effect on how we live our lives and be able to explain them to others. Today is no different. It is a memorial. And it is a celebration. And there should be produced in us this something in the depths of our lives, in our hearts, that we would fall on our faces and cry out for mercy because of what God has done, and at the same time rejoice. The song we just sang, can you imagine in your mind the angels in flight perpetually around the throne of God? Those who are in the presence of God on their faces before a holy God. Is that our heart? Is that my life? Is that the expression of who I am in my proclamation when I say I am a Christian? Has the Lord's Supper simply become something that is something just we do periodically? Because, listen, after all, that's just part of the ritual of the church. Has it become a ritual? Has it lost its significance? If it has, we need to return. Because it has a profound significance of the name that we bear, Christ. Today I want us to consider and never forget the reality of the Lord's Supper as we celebrate. Yes, it is a combination. It's a weaving of two things that are difficult to do at the same time. I know that. But they are not impossible. Last week, when I greeted you, I said, we, of all the people on the face of the earth, should be the most joyful people because we are the redeemed. Brothers and sisters, we are the redeemed. If that doesn't ring in your heart, then perhaps you are not a member of the body of Christ, redeemed and saved. Let the reality of this passage of Scripture penetrate your heart, because this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul and reminding all of us until the Lord returns, what it is that we're doing. It is a memorial that we should celebrate because of the significance, the reality, and the eternal reality. There are two types of memorials. One is to memorialize or to remember people, and the other one are monuments that are erected for the purpose of remembering events. Have you ever been to a memorial? Perhaps in Washington, D.C., something like the memorials in Washington, D.C., on the Mall. There's one particular memorial there that is very personal to me. It's actually extremely personal to me. And that's the Vietnam Wall. I'm a veteran of that war. Inscribed on it are 58,000 names. If you've ever been there, and you come upon that massive piece of granite, and you look at the names, and then as you look beyond the name, you see a reflection. It's your own reflection. Because that's the way that memorial was built. Purposely. So that you can remember and consider what took place as a result of the men whose names are there, and it should reflect back on you. And not only do you remember what took place there and the significance of it, but you are reminded that you are enjoying the freedom of an American that was bought, paid for, secured by the blood of people. And across the way, there's another memorial. There's a squad of men arrayed in their ponchos, carrying their weapons, their helmets. It's the Korean War Memorial. It also has a wall. And that wall also reflects. It reflects not only the men that are going through that battlefield, but it reflects the person who is looking on it. And then beyond is the World War II Memorial. I've often said that this world is smeared with the blood of American soldiers' bloods. And it is. For a good and worthy cause. Freedom. Freedom that we enjoy presently. I don't want to elevate those memorials and minimize this memorial, because this is a memorial unlike any other memorial for eternity. It is a glorious memorial of our Lord Jesus Christ, and is to be exalted above all other memorials. Wars have been fought by our men and women to secure the freedom, and we have gone to foreign countries to deliver the people from tyrants, from despicable men who would kill you. They'd kill you today. Our Lord came to this foreign land to redeem us from the tyrant of the enemy, the tyrannical hater of God. We are the redeemed. But those human memorials can only give us hope in the future, with the idea that we hope that we hope that we never have to build another memorial like this one. Not this one. Not this memorial. Those hopes, those human hopes, are temporal. This one is an eternal hope. It's the hope of, what is it? Glory. The hope of glory. I hope we never tire of hearing and saying, our dear sister Audrey died last night. Audrey Corson. She used to sit right there. Joyful woman. Love the Lord. And I hope we never tire of reminding each other. She exhaled her last year. She has exhaled her first breath in the presence of God. You're not even thinking about your breathing, are you? You do it so automatically without thinking. When a saint passes from this life into eternal glory, it's like breathing. Exhale, inhale, and behold him, eyes pop open, and there's Christ. Do we not see the significance? Shouldn't it penetrate our hearts? So, we do remember, we think about it. But this memorial is going to be celebrated until the Lord returns, and he said that he would not participate it until glory, then he will take it with his children, with his bride, the church. So now I want to encourage you on how we celebrate. We celebrate in at least three ways. We celebrate what took place at a specific time in the history of eternity. We celebrate our Lord hanging on the cross. Doesn't seem to fit, does it? How do you celebrate? You celebrate and rejoice because of the effect that it had on us. We're grateful, we're thankful, and so we celebrate. We look back and we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our Redeemer. He has justified us. And God, the Holy Spirit, has given us the faith to believe, and we are justified in Christ and Christ alone because of the finished work of the cross. We look back. We remember. I understand that in many cases the Scripture says, leave those things behind. What things? The sin that once held us. And look forward and press forward to the higher call of Christ. Yes, we forget those, but this we never forget. Never forget. Should be constantly on our minds, reminding each other and ourselves, we are Christ's. I am purchased with a price. I am not my own. He owns me. Then we look to the present. We celebrate by presently, now receiving and participating in the symbols, the elements that speak of the work that Jesus continues to do in our lives, our sanctification. He is molding, forming, conforming us into the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus the Lord. You know the goal for your life? Do you know the goal for your life? And that is to be conformed to the image and the likeness of God, and to be. The tense of that verb is present and continual. Be to the praise of his glory. And then we look forward. We celebrate what will take place as a result of all of what this means. You see, this points to that. They're connected. They are interconnected. And that points to glory. It's empty, isn't it? It's an empty cross and an empty tomb. And we serve a resurrected Christ. Alive. Our propitiation in the presence of the Father. This memorial, the celebration, is not passive one, it's an active one. Because we are remembering. That's an active thing. We are presently reflecting and we are rejoicing. These words require action. You can't do it without any action. It's just impossible. So now we act by remembering. That is recalling. Bringing to mind what the Lord said. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We are remembering him. Paul the Apostle said, Peter the Apostle, said that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Do we know more about Jesus today than we did yesterday? Do we? Are we simply acquainted with his name? Look, there are two people that run our state. One I know, the other one I don't know. But I am familiar with both of them. I know who Governor Martinez is. I'm familiar with her name. I see her face. I don't know her. I do know the Lieutenant Governor, John Sanchez, because he was one of my students when he was in high school. I know him. When he sees me, he says, Mr. Encinas. And I say, John, that relationship, we know each other. But how do we know Christ? How are we growing in the knowledge and the grace of Christ? Do we know our Savior? Are we laying our lives bare before him so that the Holy Spirit can bring his words and fill us and penetrate us and build us up in our most holy faith, centered on Christ Jesus the Lord? You see, because in Christ are embodied the doctrines that we need to understand, they are inseparable and indispensable. You can't have one without the other. You can't pick and choose. And they're mingled together, weaved together. And that is the doctrines of redemption, justification by faith in Christ, sanctification, and glorification. As a Christian, you will experience all of them. Do you know him? Are you recalling him? Do you remember the work of the God-man? At a particular time in the history of the universe, for a short period of time, God became man, dwelt among us, and he provided for us everything that we needed to know concerning God the Father, embodied and reflected and lived out in the person of Jesus Christ. That is our Christ, our Lord. He atoned for our sins. We remember his life. Perfect. His death, his burial, his resurrection, and his promised return as he ascended unto heaven. The angel said, men, why are you gazing up into the clouds? This Jesus will return in like fashion. He is coming back. I say to my wife on a regular basis, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to confess something negative. I'm not always rejoicing that I'm going to see the face of the Lord, but I'm confessing in my tiredness of the things of this world, and I want to be done. I want to escape this place. And I don't say it with a lot of rejoicing. To my shame. That should change. On a daily basis, I should awaken when my eyes pop open and look forward to what the Lord has in store for me. He has planned my day. He's planned your day too. We reflect. We participate by reflecting. Last week, Pastor Jeremy talked about a man looking at himself in a mirror and forgetting what he looks like. That's the natural man. Scripture says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them. He thinks they are foolish. They must be spiritually appraised or discerned. That's the natural man. But the man who looks at the law of liberty, right here, comes to an understanding of his condition and should have questions like, am I growing today in my Lord's relationship with my Lord? Am I putting to death the works of the flesh? Am I playing a game? Am I submitting? Am I committing? Am I laying my life down in the service of others? Does my life reflect Christ to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, to you, my brothers and my sisters, and to this world out there? Is Christ seen in me? Does this holy sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ have such an impact on me as He's redeemed me that it's reflecting that glory? Or is it stifled and hidden because of my putrid sin? Am I trying to simply tame and domesticate something that is deadly, or am I putting it to death as I am called to do? That's my sanctification. I need to think now as I reflect on the process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit is working in and through me for His perfect will and goal and glory. I am not my own. I am a slave of Christ Jesus the Lord. Does my life reflect that? And I am also rejoicing. I should be rejoicing. My life should be a reflection of the joy of the Lord. The Scripture says, rejoice. And then the Holy Spirit says, again, I say rejoice. Why? Why do we have to be told twice? I don't know. We're rejoicing. Rejoicing at the promise that He told us, He has declared to us that He has begun a good thing and He will see it to its completion to the day of Christ. The Holy Spirit through Paul said that to the church at Philippi. It's a promise. What good thing has He started? Now you can answer. What good thing has He started? Our redemption, our salvation, right? What's He doing to complete it? Our sanctification. He's working. For what? For the day of glory. You see, you can't tear them apart. You can't take them apart. The dots are connected inseparably. And marvelous is the work of Christ. He has redeemed us. We have been translated, moved, rescued from the dominion of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's who we are. We're the redeemed. We are the bride of Christ. He's returning for His bride, the church. We rejoice in the fact that we serve a living God, almighty, everlasting, loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving Daddy. What? Fathers, dads, don't those words ring in your heart, Daddy? Don't they? What precious words they are to me. And I know for you ladies, the word mama talks about a loving parent. Dear ones, on this memorial, there has to be a combination of two things that seem to be separate, but they're not. It is a remembering of the suffering of Christ, not for the purpose of provoking guilt on anybody, but for the purpose of bringing about joy. This proclamation is a joyful one. It's a proclamation. You are saying something with your life. The word proclaim also can mean to communicate. In the Bible, it means at least two things. One is to say things, and the other one is to live. Does my proclamation and my life, do they reflect one another, and are they the same? In my proclamation, is there a joy of the Lord for what He's doing and taking me through the difficult things? And actually, in many times, He puts me in the difficult things. Brothers and sisters, we have much to rejoice in, don't we? Much. We should rejoice. So this memorial, should it be at least three things? It should be a remembrance, should be a reflecting, and it should be a rejoicing. Because it is. Is it true in my life? Is it true in your life? My prayer is that it is. God has delivered us. We are free. Our freedom is in Christ. It's an eternal freedom. It's a freedom that's real. You have been forgiven. Do you fight with sin? Yes, it's resident right here. But forgiven. And provided with the power of heaven to do exactly as He wants you to do. And in that we rejoice that we are not left to our own devices, but sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise of God until that final day of redemption. Oh, let us rejoice. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that You're our God, a loving God, living, holy, high and lifted up. And You have provided for us all that we need in Christ Jesus the Lord. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we are Your redeemed. Bring about, cause in us a rejoicing, Lord, that the world would take note and they want to know, why do You rejoice? So that our proclamation can penetrate their hearts. Penetrate our heart, Lord. Oh, thank You. Praise You. In Jesus' name.